panel. Now, let me introduce you to the panel joining us this weekend. They're Marian Harkin, Minister of State at the Department of Further and Higher Education, Research, Science and Innovation. She's independent TD for Sligo Leitrim, and she's joining us from our Sligo studio. Roderick O'Gorman, leader of the Green Party and TD for Dublin West, and Sinead Gibney, Social Democrats TD for Dublin South and party spokesperson on enterprise, tourism and employment. Thanks to everybody for joining us this afternoon. Now, this time next week, we may know who the 10th President of Ireland will be. On Friday, voters go to the polls to select either Catherine Connolly or Heather Humphreys as Uachtaráin na hÉireann. But just how many voters depends on how each candidate's backers will motivate people to cast their ballot in what many have seen as a pretty lacklustre campaign. The latest Irish Times Ipsos poll indicates that 1 in 8 people don't intend to vote, 1 in 20 will spoil their vote, and nearly 1 in 5 still haven't made up their minds on who to vote for. So, what insights on the level of engagement are we getting from social media? That's what I've been discussing with Donna Humphreys, Head of Social at Ogilvy Ireland.
So engagement is relatively low, but look, it's a two-horse race by its nature. There's only so many permutations of events and discussion that we can have. Looking at the demographics, and this is really around the candidates' followers, there's a stark contrast between the two candidates. And social media by its nature skews younger by way of audience, but Connolly's audience skews much younger. So about 67% of her followers are 34 and under, and that's only about 40% for Humphreys. So, but having said that, Connolly's audience is much bigger in overall size across all cohorts. So while she's driving an awful lot of engagement online, it's with younger people. That might have some sort of reckoning when it comes to the polls, because as we know, older people are more likely to vote. Remains to be seen how it's going to play out.
And how active is the younger audience? Are they people who are more likely to share as opposed to maybe an older audience who passively consume perhaps?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And you can see all of the engagement is coming from that younger audience, mostly in comment section of videos, but also driving views and virality of certain posts.
The Catherine Connolly campaign's decision to have the candidate engage heavily in podcasts, that kind of reflects what we saw in the last American presidential election. Is it paying any obvious dividends in this campaign?
Yeah, in a really big way. I'd mentioned this briefly the last time I was on, which your podcasts are a really, really great tool to have in your arsenal. So they provide much longer form discussion and time to articulate all of your points across all subjects, even more so than you would see in a televised debate. And while they have an audience that will listen to all of the 45 minutes or 60 minutes or 90 minutes or whatever it is with a podcast, there's a much wider audience that can be reached through clipped up moments from these podcasts. And on top of that, it ties in so neatly with some of the functionality of social media, especially across Instagram, where you can co-post with individual hosts of that podcast, the following with the podcast, and that has a huge amplification effect on the reach of that message. And I think, you know, Connolly is the one who's having a huge impact here across several podcasts, but especially this week, the How to Gale podcast. I mean, it's really lit things up for her.
In Jim Gavin's case, some of his clips were removed after getting negative comments, you know, on the ploughing, drones, photo with the Army Chief of Staff. Has there been an element of toxic engagement online for the remaining candidates?
I don't think it's strayed into the realms of toxic, certainly not by the standards that we've become used to online. The vast majority of the campaigning has been done across Facebook, Instagram and TikTok, and they have much stricter rules around, you know, language that can be filtered and automatically hidden from pages, unlike, you know, Elon Musk's X platform, formerly Twitter, that has a much more libertarian tack on what's permissible. But what you can certainly see in the comment sections and in the discussion is that followers of the candidates have been exercised around certain perceptions, let's say this idea of a smear campaign. And so while candidates are legitimately being questioned, you know, even if it is ad nauseum on certain topics, their followers are redressing the balance in the online discussion, whether that's on RTE or the Irish Times or wherever. And they're kind of saying, oh, well, you didn't ask her about this. What I will say about the negative space, I think, is that the spoil the vote movement isn't going away. And at the risk of prompting a self-fulfilling prophecy, which I don't want to do, I would wager that, you know, it could be the highest proportion of spoiled votes that we've seen in quite some time.
Right. It's certainly active online, is it? That attempt to get people to spoil their votes.
Very much so.
Okay, so what are people posting? You know, what are they spending their budget on insofar as they're spending a budget, and what are they, what platform are they concentrating on?
So as I mentioned, most of the campaigning is being done through the Meta channels, which are Facebook and Instagram and also TikTok. Now, Meta has turned off its political advertising midway through this campaign, which was always going to have an effect. It was always going to happen and was always going to have an effect on this campaign. And up to the point that ads were permissible, Heather Humphreys was outspending Catherine Connolly, you know, more or less 3-1. In terms of what they're posting all and sundry, anything that they can get their hands on. So whether that's the aforementioned clips from podcasts, whether it's clips from the debates, or basically out on the campaign trail, trying to find those, you know, moments of human interest or those nuggets somewhere along the way that's going to cut through with an audience.
Now, there's a 5-minute snapshot of what's going on the social media space with Donagh Humphreys, head of social at Ogilvy Ireland. And still with me here in studio, listening to this, were Roderick O'Gorman, leader of the Green Party, and Sinead Gibney of the Social Democrats, Marian Harkin, listening down the line from Sligo. I got your thoughts. We're not going to have a proxy debate on the presidential election, so avoid getting your pitch in for the candidates on this one. But I do want to know the, you know, the level of engagement and the degree to which people's disinterest in the election is being reflected on the doors. Have you been canvassing, Sinead Gibney, and have you come across people who you have had to try to vote or to try to convince to vote?
Yes, I'm canvassing a lot. I'm convening in our constituency in Dublin Rathdown, but we have a brilliant cross-party and non-affiliated group of volunteers mobilised for the last number of weeks. I have to say, on the doors, maybe not finding as much of the intention to spoil vote or people who are not planning to vote. But I was concerned by that 6% figure that we saw in the recent polling of people who said they do intend to spoil their vote, because that is very different to the 1% in the last presidential election who did actually end up spoiling their vote. Now, I appreciate that 6% might not actually turn into that on the day, but nonetheless, I think that signals, you know, a clear disillusionment with the process and you know, essentially a protest vote. I mean, we as a party got out early, backing our candidate. What happened after that, I think there has to be a lot of consideration once the dust is settled as to how people were barred from entering because of the very clear, you know, legal parameters that exist towards getting on the ballot. But also then, I suppose, in terms of how the other, you know, the government parties, how they've handled their campaigns, and particularly, obviously, Fianna Fáil has a lot of questions to answer in terms of not having a candidate essentially now in the race, you know.
OK, Marian Harkin, I know you've tried to facilitate one candidate's entry into the race, but you're backing another candidate. Have you been out canvassing actively, or have you been trying to encourage your supporters to at least participate?
Well, I haven't been out canvassing actively, but I have spoken to people, and I'll be meeting Heather tomorrow. But what I had hoped was that we would see a respectable, considered debate with different viewpoints, you know, and I think that's really important, because when you have sectors of the community who feel that their voices are not being heard, then that further polarises them. And while I said very clearly I would support Maria Steen getting on the ballot paper, but I would support Heather, to me that's really important that we give that space. And what I think...
Well, in that spirit, you know, seeing as you facilitated her entry into the race and she didn't get into the race, were you disappointed then that at one point she was calling for the election to be cancelled and that prominent supporters of her are backing a spoil the vote campaign?
Well, I'll put it this way. We are where we are in the circumstances that the Constitution tells us we have to be. We can look at changes after this election, and that's a different debate. But for now, we have to recognise the situation we're in. And this idea of spoil the vote, for those who think it's useful, good luck to them. But for me, I think every citizen needs to be part of the decision-making process. Who do you want to see there? Who do you not want to see there? It's important to say this. Not every policy you might agree with or whatever, but not to be part of the decision-making process is to just say democracy doesn't matter.
Okay, I'm going to come to Rodrigo Gorman in a second. I do want to just hit the listeners here for what their opinion has been. 34-year-old Dermot says he's voting. 51-year-old Marie is voting. 52-year-old female, another texter, says they're voting too. Another texter says, we fought long and hard to earn our democratic right to vote. We shouldn't take it for granted. Everybody should go out and use their vote on Friday. I'm underwhelmed by the election, but I still look forward to casting my vote regardless. 43 and female, Michelle is voting. 38, Patrick, no intention of voting. Never missed an election or a referendum, but this texter, Joseph, who's 52 years old, will spoil their vote this time. Three voters in the House, says another texter, two in their 50s, one 19-year-old, all three will vote, saddened by the spoil the vote movement and unsure if voting, says another 50-year-old texter called Gordon. Roderick O'Gorman, in terms of getting out the vote, are you clear that all your party would be behind you in getting the party out to vote? Because obviously Pauline O'Reilly, former senator, and Brian Leddon, former TD, have dissented from your decision to support the candidate you're supporting.
Well, since the Green Party endorsed Catherine Connolly in the middle of September, our members, our councillors, our public reps have been engaging and taking part in this very remarkable campaign. And Sinead spoke to it there, this element of cross-party cooperation that's been taking place in constituencies all over the country. And the reason we've been doing that is to ensure that our next president continues the legacy of Michael D. Higgins in terms of using the office of the Oris to shine a spotlight on the issue of climate.
We're straying into a proxy candidate picture.
But look, I have to explain why the Greens are supporting Catherine Connolly. It is because she is the candidate who is speaking about nature, who is speaking about climate, the issues our members and our voters are passionate about.
What I'm asking you about is, you know, in the case of Brian Leddon, he dissented from that view. Pauline O'Reilly dissented from that view. Brian Leddon was of the view the Greens should have run their own candidate. Why didn't they?
Because we have one senator and one TD, and that's a mathematical impossibility. As party leader, I have to work in the real world. The Green Party have never had 20 Oireachtas nominees to support a presidential campaign, but we have always, to run our own candidate, but we've always supported a candidate from the broad left, Michael D. Higgins, A.D. Roach, Mary Robinson indeed. And that's what we're doing in this campaign. We want to ensure that our next president is raising issues, is placing a spotlight on policy issues that are of concern to our members. And we're seeing that in terms of Catherine Connolly. But I think just in terms of that issue of turnout, I've been doing the train stations in Dublin West as part of our campaign. I've been doing it now almost every day for the last 3 weeks. And what has really surprised me is the number of young people who, when you offer them the leaflet, they're like, yeah, I know her, I've seen her, I'm voting for her, I don't want the leaflet, I'm there already. And that is different to other campaigns.
Yeah, Marion Harkin, go on. Are you putting on a bus?
Colin, what I can say this is, not voting achieves nothing. It just lets other people decide the outcome. If that's what you want, if that's the message you want to give, fine. But it won't impact what happens. And if Rod can explain why the Greens will support Catherine, I should be given just a few seconds as to
briefly, fire away.
And I will be brief. And I mean, to be honest, both, I think, candidates are decent, committed women. But for me, the likes of Heather, who managed a credit union before she ever came into politics, you know, a not-for-profit, community-owned financial institution, that tells me so much about this woman. She just doesn't talk about being involved in community. She leads that. There's lots more, but I just won't hold you up by saying it. Arguments to be made here on both sides. But for people to say, I won't be involved, they're simply saying somebody else will make that decision.
Okay, public service announcement. The election is on next Friday, the 24th of October. Use your vote in whatever way you see fit. That's your democratic prerogative. We'll give the last word in this section to the listeners. Female and in my late 60s, and my son is in his early 30s, will also vote with qualms on a few issues. And somebody else says, I intend to vote with number one to Gavin, with no second or third option, says Tony, who's 71.